Praise the Lord. Somebody there, I said, praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for this time. We bless your name, a mighty and a glorious God. For you, all things are possible. And we know that your grace supplies everything. A new life, a change of life, a righteous life, a holy life, a sanctified life. Your grace supplies. As we believe and come to you, we know all that Calvary has provided by your grace will be done in our lives. Be exalted tonight. Touch your people. Heal your people. Deliver your people. Set the captives free. We thank you because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name, we pray. Another amen. A dynamic, miracle-working amen. God bless you. You can sit down. Tonight, as we come to the final session of this crusade, I'm talking to you on wonders through the works of his grace. The works of his grace. The grace of God works because it enables us to be what we ought to be and to be what God plans and to be what God desires in every life. And because it enables us, it empowers us, it recreates us. The grace of God then works in a mighty way in every life. You understand? I've said it over and over. Crusade is not for entertainment. We come to the presence of the Lord. And as we come to the presence of the Lord, we don't come here to be entertained. We come here to discover the might, the strength, the power, the glory of the Lord and what Christ has done at Calvary. And when we come to his presence and he does something miraculous, something wonderful for the soul, for the spirit, for the body, he saves the soul. It cleanses, energizes the spirit. It heals the body. And then spirit, soul, and body were different. Were not like before we came. That is the result. And that is the outcome of having the grace of God in our lives. And that grace works wonders that you will know, your neighbors will see, and as you go through life with that grace of God, as you go through life with that compassionate mercy of the Lord doing something in your life, people will know, here goes a person touched, transformed by the grace of God. In Acts of the Apostles chapter 14, we're looking at verse 3 here, Acts of the Apostles chapter 14, reading from verse 3, it says, long time therefore they abode and spoke, speaking boldly, not timidly, not fearfully. They were not intimidated. When you're talking about the grace of God, there's no fear, there's no intimidation. When you're talking about the grace of God, there's no doubt. Will God not? You're not the one doing it. It's the grace of God. It's the power of God. It is the mercy of God working in the hearts and the lives of his people. And so it doesn't depend on the man, on the minister, on the preacher, on the evangelist. It depends on the mind of God. What he wants to do. What he plans to do. What he ordains to do. And so it says they spoke boldly in the name of the Lord and they spoke. the word of the gospel unto them. And the word says that the Lord himself testified, gave testimony unto the word of his grace. He gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and he granted signs and wonders to be done by their hand. And when he gives testimony, he gives approval, he gives a demonstration to the word of his grace, that's what then coming to you, you receive. And as you receive, you allow it to do a transforming work in your life. I pray that tonight, that transforming work will be done in everyone. In your spirit, give me a good amen. In your soul, another amen. And in your body, once again, wonders through the works of his grace. Three things we're looking at. Number one, receiving the word of his grace. Of all grace, receiving the word of all grace. That grace comes to save, comes to heal, comes to set free, comes to deliver. And the first thing for you is to hear the word. And you receive the word you hear. You receive the word. You might have had your own old opinion. You might have had your own old doctrine. You might have had your old concept of what grace is about, of what the ability of God is about, of what God can do. Your old ideas, your old kind of opinion, you set that aside, and you hear the word of his grace, and you receive that. Number one is receiving the word of all grace. Number two, rejoicing in the wonders of his grace. When that grace enters your life, enters your heart, because you have received it, and it works wonders, it saves you, turns your life around, and makes you to get up when you are down. Then you rejoice. See what grace has accomplished in my life. I'm forgiven. I'm free. I know the things I couldn't do before, the life I couldn't live before, that righteous life I couldn't live before, that upright life I couldn't live before, now I can, because of the manifestation of the grace of God in my life. That gives you joy. But if you say you have grace, and the present life is not different from the old life, there's no joy there. If you say you have received grace, and your acts, your action, your behavior, you don't have the power to live in newness of life, there's no joy there. The joy that comes, that you have received the grace of God, is the joy of transformation. It's the joy of a new life. It's the joy of an upright life. See, I couldn't do that before. Like we had testimony yesterday, and the young man said, I've been smoking, but now he doesn't even have the appetite. He said, the appetite left me. That is what brings joy. But you know, if you come to the crusade, you hear everything that is being said, you pray as everybody prays, but your heart was not there, and you go back home, and you do the same thing, act the same way, live the same way. There's no rejoicing there. The rejoicing comes because there is now transformation, rejoicing in the wonders of his grace. Number three is retaining the wealth of his abundant grace. Retaining. You get it, you keep it. You get it, you hold on to it. The new life comes, and by the grace of God, at the end of the crusade period, that new life has come. The following day, the new life remains there. The following week, the new life remains there. And the next time we meet, you say, preacher, the new life that I got at that time of receiving the grace of God, that new life has remained. That is the essence of having the grace of God. Not that we have come to Christ during the period of the crusade, and then after the crusade, we have gone back to Satan. We come to the light during the crusade. After the crusade, we have gone back to darkness. We come to God as the only God, creator, redeemer. And during the crusade and then after the crusade, we've gone back to idols. That one is not the will of God. The will of God is that we retain what we have got. That's why you have point number 3 here. Retaining the wealth of his abundant grace. I will retain what I have got. I will retain what I have got. Of course, that means you really got something, because if I got 0 and I retain 0, that's still nothing. But when I have the positive, practical, profitable grace of God that turns my life around, that changes my nature, that makes me now to say, I am on my way to heaven. If I retain that the glory, and that is the joy. Let's come to number 1. We're looking at point number 1 here, and that is receiving the word of all grace. Receiving, you hear the word, the gospel. You hear the word, the transforming word. You hear the word, the saving word, and you receive that. When we receive that, that's where the salvation comes. That's where the forgiveness comes. That's why the life of freedom from sin, that's where it comes from. In John chapter 1, reading from verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, capital W. In the beginning was the Word. And then it says, and the Word was with God. The Word was with God. And then it says something that you really need now to believe, and the Word was God. The Word was there in the beginning. That's talking about Christ. It's the eternal Word. And before anybody here was born speaking the words of a language, Christ had been the eternal Word. He was with God. And it says the Word was God. It says by him were all things made, by that Word, that eternal Word. It's by Christ, the Son of God. And it says nothing was made without him. And it tells us in him is life. The life we have, eternal life we have, and the everlasting life we have in Christ. In him we have life. And that Word is the light of the world. Without Christ, we'll all be in darkness. Without Christ, we'll all be in the dungeon. Without Christ, we'll all be away in darkness forever and ever. And then it says in verse 14, it says, the Word became flesh, and we beheld his glory. The glory like no other glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of God. And now it says, he's full of grace and truth. And when you come to believe on him, he gives you that grace upon grace, grace upon grace, grace for salvation available for you tonight. Amen. And that grace for freedom, that grace for forgiveness, he grants everyone. There's no partiality in Christ. There's no partiality in God. Everyone that comes for the grace of God, the grace that forgives us, the grace that sets us free, the grace that transforms our lives, and the grace that makes our life free of condemnation. I'm free of the guilt of the past. I'm free of all the things piled upon our lives in the past. I'm free from all the pressure, all the pain, all the pollution, all the evils of sin in the world. The grace of God comes to take all that away from us, and it takes us away from them. And now you can say, praise the Lord, I have the word of his grace. Praise the Lord, I have the word of forgiveness and the word of freedom. I have the word of salvation. Now I am saved. It has happened. If it has not happened in your life, it will happen. Give me good, good amen. And when that happens, you'll see it as a result of receiving the word. What word? Jesus himself said, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. You hear that and you receive that. When you receive that, your act on what you receive. Your action shows what you have heard, what you have ingested, what you apply, and what you believe. Repent ye, believe the gospel. And when you hear that word from Christ, I'll say, I want to make Christ my Lord. I want to make Christ my Savior. If he is my Lord, he has the final say in my life. And the final say as you come to Christ is that you repent, you turn. You turn away from everything that pains the heart of God. You turn away that from everything that makes Calvary cheap. You turn away from everything that makes Christ to say, is this what I paid for on the cross of Calvary? You turn away from that so that as you turn away from them, you repent, then you believe the gospel. You believe the promise of the gospel. What the gospel said will happen, that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You believe that. I've called upon the name of the Lord. I've turned away from my sin. And I believe that Jesus died for me on the cross of Calvary. You are saved in Jesus' name. It tells us then, as we look at this word of his grace, that we remember, that we retain, and that remains and abides in our heart. It's not telling us on this word. I'm looking at Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, I'm looking at verse 5. In Luke chapter 19, verse 5, it says, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him, and he said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for I must abide in thy house today. A good day, amen. Amen. Jesus was in town. He was passing through the city where Zacchaeus lived for the last day. And Zacchaeus took that opportunity. He wanted to see the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know whether he knew about the grace, about the forgiveness, about the change of life, about salvation, but he wanted to see Jesus who he was. And there was such a large crowd that he couldn't see the Lord directly. So he said, I'll do something. So he climbed up a sycamore tree so that as Jesus was passing by, he would see Jesus. He didn't have the faith yet that Jesus would see him. All the faith he had was the natural faith that if I stay on an elevated place and somebody or something is on the ground, I'll be able to see from that elevated faith, natural faith, natural faith. We know how the law of gravity works. We know how sight works and everything. And we need all that. That's what we have applied in coming here, natural faith. They say crusade is going on. And they say this is happening, that is happening. I want to go and see naturally. And then Jesus got there. And the first thing that struck Zacchaeus is that Jesus stopped at that point where Zacchaeus was. And he looked up at him. Understand? They never met. They had never met. And he called him by name and said, Zacchaeus. That's more than what Zacchaeus was expecting. Called him by name. He knows your name. He knows your real name, and he knows your name, the name that shows and describes the life you live. If you're a sinner, your name is a sinner. If you're a backslider, your name is backslider. If you're an injurious fellow, a persecutor, he knows your name. And Jesus got there and looked up and said to Zacchaeus, he said, come down, because I must abide in your house today. Now, understand, abide in your house today. Come to your house today. He went to the house of Simon the leper. That did not bring Simon the leper salvation, because Simon the leper was saying, if this one is the prophet of God, he would have known that this person touching him is a sinner. And Jesus now gave him a parable and asked him a question. He went to the house of Matthew, the publican, the tax collector. Just get into your house. It's like, you know, since I came, I went to visit, you know, our king in Ekwela. That did not bring salvation, not just a natural sin. We're giving honor to whom honor is due. But it's when you come down from that height where you were, and then you open your mouth, understand that you must believe in your heart that this is the Savior, and confess with your mouth that he was raised from the dead. That's how you become saved. And so he came down, and the people all around said, how is Jesus going to be guest to him who is a sinner? They needed salvation. They were sinners. They needed forgiveness. They were sinners. They needed freedom. They were sinners. But they didn't think of that. They came. All they did was that they were spectators. This one is a sinner. That one is a sinner. As we are there, what are you doing there? Are you evaluating? Are you marking? This is right. This is wrong. This is not the way it should be. Preachers don't talk like this. All you're doing is that you're judging. You're not looking for grace. You're not looking for the wonders of grace, the salvation that comes through grace. And so they were judging if Jesus really was the Savior. They said the Savior should not go to the house of the sinner to save the sinner. It was self-contradictory. But Zacchaeus himself came down, and Zacchaeus said, Lord, look at that. He recognized who Jesus was. You must recognize who is Jesus, his Savior, his Lord, his King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. And then he said, after they had accused him that this one was a sinner, and Zacchaeus himself is chewed. And he said unto the Lord, he said, behold, Lord, you know what? Zacchaeus understood. If this person knows my name, and we've never met, and stood where I was, and I didn't make any announcement where I am, and he looked up, And he called Zacchaeus. And that's my name. If he knew all that, and he says, he's going to the house with me, he will know. All the furniture that he sees there, he will know how I got them. That's why he now began to say, he said, Lord, he didn't call him rabbi. He didn't call him ruler of the synagogue. He didn't call him great man. He didn't call him good man. He didn't call him seer, prophet. He said, Lord. He said, now I know, since you know my name, you know my nature. Stingy. You know my nature internally. Selfish. You know my nature, self-centered. He said, now I see you, my life is turned around. Half of my goods I give to the poor. Not only that, that's only half. And his nature changed when you come to the Lord and you have the grace of God. It will change your nature. It will change your habit. It will change your lifestyle. And if I have taken anything from any man, I restore it fourfold. He knew that from the Old Testament, but he couldn't do that. But now he said, I see him. I see Jesus. Grace enters my life. I see him. I see the Savior. And the things I used to do, I don't want to do that anymore. I see him. I see that this is my Lord and my Savior. And he said, anything I've taken from any man with false accusation, now I restore. Actually, he had not restored. He wasn't prepared for that when I was coming. But when I get back home, I will restore. Think about that. If you count Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, what you have taken from others, you restore. Number one, what you have taken away from God. His honor, his glory, because he's your creator. He created you in this world, and you have taken that honor away from him, and you've given that honor and glory to an idol. You're telling the Lord, when the grace of God comes in your life, what you have taken from God, you restore back unto God. Idols are nothing. All those idols, images of wood, of stone, of gold, or whatever, they're nothing. You're taking the glory of God away from him. The nature of God away from him. The worship that belongs to God and God alone, you're taking that away from him. If I've taken anything away from God, I restore him. What I've taken your love, when he created us, he told the children of Israel, and he tells us that we love the Lord with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind. That love that belongs to God, to love him totally and completely and fully, we're taking that love away from him. All we're looking for is to put sugar in my tea and to put butter on my bread. God, do this for me. Do this for me. We've turned him to be an errand boy. And the allegiance we should have, the loyalty we should have, the faithfulness we should have, and the love we should have to the Lord and to the Lord alone. We're so self-centered now. All we can think about is what I want rather than what he demands of me. We get back that back unto the Lord. And that's why you can call him Lord. If you call him Lord and you're still giving allegiance and obedience to your idol, you're not calling him Lord. If you call him Lord and you're giving all the attention to yourself and you're not giving the attention to him, you're not thinking of him in your action. You're not thinking of him in your place of work. Anything you're doing, you're just thinking of myself. What can I get? You exalt yourself and you put that God down. And Zacchaeus said, if I've taken anything from any man, and if you take anything from the man of Galilee, the one that loved us and went to the cross to die for us, you've taken anything from him. You've taken your heart away from him. Look at him dying on the cross of Calvary. And there you are. You just dance your life away in the nightclub. And you're not thinking of, look at what he has done and look at what I have to do. Have you taken your life away from it? My son, give me thine heart. My son, my daughter, give me thine heart. Have you not taken that away from the Lord? When you call him Lord and you receive of his grace, then everything you've taken away from him, you give back to him. Give unto God that what belongs unto God. That's what Jesus said. But if you're just going through religion and through tradition and everything, and you don't remember Jesus or God, to give God all that belongs to him, and give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Your neighbors are there. If you stole anything from them, the system of the world is there. I should take exam, pass the exam, if I'm going to have certificate. But I go the other way and I have the certificate which does not belong to me. Whatever I have taken from any man by false accusation, Aristotle, fourfold. Are you there? You've taken another person's wife. Are you there? You've taken another person's property. I'm a Christian. If you're a Christian, truly, what I have taken from others, I restore back unto them. Then Jesus said, understand, he didn't say this when Zacchaeus came down. That's just natural. Came down from the tree. He wanted to see Jesus. And now Jesus said, come down. Wonderful. And then I will abide at thy house. It's only after he said, I recognize you as Lord, as my Lord. I recognize you as the one that now has the final say in my life. And then I give back to God what belongs to God. I give to man what I've taken from them. Jesus said, today, salvation is entered into this house. Not just the house physical, it's entered your heart. When Christ enters your heart, when the Savior enters your heart, and things are different now, salvation. He'll give you that salvation. I said he'll give you that salvation. You know, I'm going to wait for a good amen. I hold that amen. Salvation then is what turns our life in the right direction. The grace of God we have received of his grace. And that grace we have received then turns our hearts, our lives, our behavior in the right direction. Unrighteousness is taken away from us, and then righteousness comes. I come to point number two now. I pray that number one will become a reality in your life. I said number one will become a reality in your life. And number two now is rejoicing. You will rejoice. When your life is clean and clear, you will rejoice. When your life is turned around for the better, you will rejoice. And when that Spirit of God confirms in your heart that your name is now written in the book of life in heaven, you will rejoice. When you have Jesus, the controller of your life, when you have Jesus, the director of your life, when you have Jesus, the change maker in your life, you'll rejoice. Give me a good amen. Our singers sing, they say, tell me what's your joy when you don't have Jesus. Tell me what's your joy when you don't have the salvation of the Savior. Tell me what's your joy when you don't have new life, eternal life. Tell me what's your joy when you don't have a change of life. The joy comes as we have the grace of God. The joy comes as we now have forgiveness by grace. We have the faith in the Lord, and it gives us freedom by faith. That's when the joy comes. Point number two, rejoicing in the wonders of his grace. Let's look at that again in Acts of the Apostles chapter 8. I'm reading from verse 5. Acts chapter 8, verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and he preached Christ unto them. He preached Christ unto them. And what did he preach? He preached Christ as Savior. He preached Christ as the Son of God. He preached Christ as our substitute, the one that replaced us and suffered the sin we should have suffered for. And he suffered the punishment and carried all the pressure and the pain of our sin upon him. Philip preached Christ unto them. He preached Christ, and the one that's able to change our lives and change our mind and change our direction in life and change our destiny. And then we're told, and the people with one accord in all agreement gave heed to the things that Philip spake. And they were told of the result of that. As they gave heed, as they accepted, as they believed, it says they were now hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Actually, the miracle which Christ did through him, the miracles that God accomplished through him, when they saw that, that also increased their faith in the Lord and made them to accept more what he was saying. What did he see? What did he hear? It says they saw evil spirits crying out with loud voice, and those spirits came out of many that were possessed. And then he tells us that them that had their palsies, their sicknesses were taken away. When we hear of Christ and we touch him and believe him and give heed to everything we've heard about Christ, our sicknesses will vanish away. Okay, my sickness will vanish away. I said, my sickness will vanish away. My yoke will be broken. And all the powers of darkness will be shattered out of your life in Jesus' name. That's what believing on the Lord does. They saw the wonders. They saw the healing. They saw the deliverance. And that was the wonder. And that is still the wonder you will see today. I will see wonders today. Confirmed in your life in Jesus' name. We're told in Acts chapter 14, verse 3, it says, long time, therefore, abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord and of the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace. And it says he granted signs and wonders to be done by the hand of that apostle. That is of Paul. He grants wonders today. He's still the same. God says, I am God. I change not. And God will not change in a hoarder. I said, God will not change in a hoarder. He does not change in his precept. What he always demanded of the people that worship him from generation to generation to generation, he does not change. What he demands of every sinner, to leave the sin and come to the Savior, he doesn't change. He will not change in a hoarder. As you leave your sin, you come to the Savior, he will save you in Jesus' name. He does not change in his promises. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's his promise, and the promise does not change in a hoarder. His power does not change. He heals, he delivers, he set free. And his power does not change in a hoarder. Everything God was, God is. Everything God is, God still will be. He does not change. I am God, I change not. And about Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what he did, he does today. What he does today, he will continue to do. And his manifestation of power does not change. Yesterday, today, and forever, he still does. And you want to remember that Christ will not change in a hoarder. Give me a good amen. That's why our expectation does not change. Our faith does not change. The declaration of Christ as Savior, as healer, as deliverer does not change. And here, that same thing Christ did in the past, he will do here today. Because it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He, you know, he gave his word to the people. And Nicodemus came and even praised him and said, we know thou art from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And after he finished that in verse 2 of John 3, Jesus opened his mouth and he said, he didn't even say thank you. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He has not changed. What he said yesterday, he says today. What he says today is what he says also in the future. And he tells you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. All those Pharisees, they searched there, and the Sadducees, and Jesus saw them there, and then he said, the Pharisees and the Sadducees have a kind of righteousness, but that righteousness cannot get them into the kingdom of God because it's self-righteousness. I do this, I do this, I do that. I don't do this, I don't drink that, I don't smoke that. All alone in their own strength, in their own power. And then he said, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case, in no wise, enter into the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. And Jesus is still the same. As he was yesterday, so today. As he was in Jerusalem, so in a hoarder. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad you are serving a God, a Lord that does not change from city to city, from generation to generation? He condemned sin yesterday. He condemned sin today. He condemned sin in Jerusalem. He condemned sin here in Ahoda. And as you accept that and you come to him, the word of his grace will work in your life. Another good, good amen. And they were told in Acts chapter 14, reading there from verse 7, there was a man there that had been born lame, paralyzed, impotent, and had never taken a step because he was lame from his mother's womb. And as Paul spoke the gospel, preached the gospel, the same gospel that Christ preached, the same thing that Christ emphasized, Paul emphasized the same thing. And the man had faith to be healed. And where Paul was standing, he looked at the man and he saw the expectation, the eagerness, and the faith that I can be healed right now. And he says, stand upright on thy feet. And that power went right into him. The man that was born blind, lame, he rose up and he walked. To be the same for you. The same for me. He will do it in your life in Jesus' name. And then you will rejoice. You'll rejoice that the Lord is still as mighty, as powerful, as compassionate and merciful. The Lord is still having the same power, the same precept, the same promise, and then the same partakers of his grace. I'm a partaker tonight. I am a partaker tonight. You'll be a partaker of the grace of God, of the forgiveness of God, of the freedom of the Lord, of the healing of the Lord, of the miracle of the Lord, even tonight in Jesus' name. We come to the final point. This is the point, the final one that takes you to your miracle, takes you to your salvation, and makes that miracle, that salvation, to remain and abide in your life. Point number three now, it is retaining the wealth of abundant grace. Retaining the wealth of abundant grace. We need to understand that Jesus, the grace he gives is abundant grace. When we say abundant, it's sufficient grace. Look up here, you're thirsty. And you tell someone, I need a glass of water to cool my system, quench my thirst. And the fellow puts a few drops and can hardly cover the base of that glass. And he says, here you are, sir. Here you are, madam. And you look at it. You put it in your mouth, it does nothing. The people that have, the least of the grace they ought to have, the grace that ought to give them complete forgiveness, no condemnation, no guilt, and they say, yes, I have grace, and the grace can barely appear at the bottom of the glass. Go beyond that. There are people that are, maybe you're hungry and then you need food and somebody gives you just almost like only a morsel of that thing and then you swallow and you're sitting down there. Any other thing coming? Any other thing coming? Oh, they say that's all. This one has not done anything. The people that come, you come where there's the fullness of grace, abundance of grace. And then what you take is so small of the grace of God that your life barely does not have any change. But Jesus said, the thief cometh but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that ye may have life. He comes so that tonight you'll have life. Are you there? Raise up your hand. You'll have life tonight. But do you know that Jesus did not stop there? He said, and that ye may have it more abundantly. That's the kind of life, the kind of grace, and the kind of help that Jesus gives. I don't want anyone here to go away with the barest minimum. I don't want anyone here to go away with, I was there, and they spoke about grace, and now I understand grace, and they have a little, the minimal of the grace that God can give. We're here for abundant grace. We're here for abundant life. We're here for abundant victory. We're here for abundant triumph. He'll give you that abundant grace in Jesus' name. We're told in Romans chapter 5. I'm reading here from verse 17. It says, "For if by one man's offense death came, reigned by one." Then he says, much more. Let me explain that first part to you. By the disobedience of Adam and Eve, by the fall of Adam and Eve, they experienced spiritual death. The day you eat of that fruit, that day you die. First of all, the spiritual death, separation from God. And the Bible says here that by the disobedience of one man, the sin of one man, all their the people that follow them, like we, descendants, we all experience that death. And their submission to sin gave us the depravity in sinfulness. And that depravity is abundant everywhere. Go to any village, go to any town, go to any local government, come to a hoda, go anywhere. The same depravity abounds everywhere because of that one action of Adam. It's not going to tell us about Christ. And he's saying, if the sinfulness becomes abundant in everyone that follows after Adam, how about the righteousness? How about the grace? How about the gift? How about the new life that comes because Christ lived a perfect life and he died and gave the acceptable sacrifice? And through that, abundance now comes unto us. And we don't want to allow ourselves to feel that the abundant sinfulness that came from Adam, that Jesus could not match that. Abundance of death, of suffering, of depravity came upon the whole of humanity because of Adam. And now Christ has come. The substitute for all men, the sacrifice for all sinners and saints, the one that becomes a savior. And as we believe on him, we got abundance of sinfulness from Adam. Now we get abundance of righteousness through Christ. That's why it goes to say, if all that happened through Adam, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, it says, we shall reign in life by one Christ Jesus. Now we reign over all the things that reigned over us before. The bad life, the evil life that had been our lives before, now we come to Christ and we receive of the grace of God. And now we reign through Jesus Christ in life of the things that reigned on us before. And now righteousness will reign in your life. Say, righteousness will reign in your life. What we got from Adam, did not just work on us on Saturday. And then the rest of the day were free as sinners from all the things we got from Adam. What we're getting from Christ does not work in our lives only on Sunday. It works on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday, on Friday, on Saturday, all through the week. The grace we get from Christ, the freedom we get from Christ, the forgiveness we get from Christ, and the victory that we got from Christ keeps on working every day, every moment in our lives. That the grace of God. Anything different from that, it's just human struggle. If I struggle hard on Sunday. I go to church on Sunday. I hear the word on Sunday. I hear the music on Sunday. And I worship on Sunday. And then I say, today is a holy day. And I struggle. That's self-effort. That will not happen today. That will not happen today. That will not happen today. Today is Sunday. And then on Monday, I gave up because the struggle yesterday was so much. All that is self-effort. But when Christ comes in and the grace of God comes in and the grace of God sets you free and forgives you and makes you a new creature in Christ, all things pass away, all things become new on Monday. Christ is still there. And as long as Christ is there, victory is there. Triumph is there. And the grace to live according to the new calling, that grace remains there. By grace, you are saved. By grace, you keep saved. That grace will never fail in your life. And then your spirit, your soul, your body will enjoy all the victory that Christ offered at Calvary. We're told in 3 John, reading from verse 2, 3 John, verse 2, it says, beloved, saved, beloved, you have received grace, beloved, you've given your life entirely to Christ, without reservation. It says, beloved, I pray, I wish, I desire above all things that thou mayest prosper and then be in health even as your soul prospereth. He looks at every area of our lives and it transforms every area. And it brings us that grace that is able to affect and influence every part of our lives. And it says, that's my wish, that's my prayer, that's my desire, and that's what God will accomplish in your life. Every day. Every day. So that you retain the wealth of His abundant grace. We're not going to go to the Lord in prayer. And remember, God still answers prayer. Prayer to be saved. Prayer to be free from guilt. Prayer to be free from condemnation. Prayer that you want to have the working, the outworking of the grace of God in your life. We can have that right now. This final day of these wonders of God's grace crusade is coming your way. I said it's coming your way. And whatever you have not got in the first 5 days, this final day, you will have in Jesus' name. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Heads bowed and eyes closed. The Lord wants all those who sincerely want and desire the grace of God, the free grace of God, the full grace of God, the fructifying grace of God, the grace that bears fruit in our lives. All those who sincerely want free grace, full grace, fructifying grace He wants you to raise up your hand. Raise up your hand where you are. Forgiveness comes. Freedom comes. New life comes. Raise up that hand. God bless you there. God bless you there. And as you raise up your hand, you know you have a part to play. You give your heart to God. That heart belongs to God. You give your love to God. That love belongs to God. You give your loyalty unto Christ, who loved you and gave himself for you. We need to do that. The things that taken from any man and from God are restored to him fully, fully, completely. No more idol worship. No more loyalty to the traditions of men. But now you have your loyalty completely unto the Lord. Raise up your hand. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my Savior. I surrender all. The world, the devil, the flesh, that's all clinging to. Now I give up. I give up. I loose them from my hand. I now want to serve the Lord and the Lord alone. Raise up your hand, raise up your hand. The final day will not be here in this place tomorrow. This is your chance. It will happen now. As you are raising up your hand, please stand up. God bless you. God bless you. Some are already standing. Anywhere you are, you're giving everything to the Lord. You're not holding anything back. You're not saying, I just want forgiveness. I still want to go back to offending the Lord and, you know, contradicting his word. No, I just come with all my heart, with all my soul. And I want to give myself unreservedly unto the God of heaven and to Jesus, my Lord, now and my Savior. You stand up wherever you're online. Please do the same thing. You're watching by television. Please do the same thing. You're there on the Facebook or you're there on your laptop. You're watching. Please do the same thing. And don't be, you know, going to the kitchen and coming back and going there and coming back. Do like you are, like as if you were at the crusade field with us here. And as you raise up your hand and stand up, tell the Lord in a few words, he knows your heart. If it's coming from your heart, he understands the well answer. Tell him, Lord, I give myself to you. I give my heart to you. No reservation. My love, my loyalty. Everything I give unto you. Forgive me, Lord. Set me free, Lord. And bring that grace to bear on my life. Believe that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe. And once you believe, it's done. It's done. I receive Christ. It's done. I hold on to him till my last breath on earth. It's done. We're going to pray together now. You and I agree. That's what you have asked, the Lord has answered. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and bless your name. Great God, gracious God, loving God, and a God that will not change. We're asking, O Lord, that your grace will flow into every life right now in Jesus' name. I pray that your forgiveness comes to everyone that have turned their backs on their sin. They have confessed, they are forsaken, and they are asking for your forgiveness. Forgive them, Lord, in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, that you set them free, the cords of sin that bound them, the habit of sin that bound them, the nature of Satan that bound them. Loose them, set them free in Jesus' name. And I pray the Spirit of the Lord will bear witness in their heart. The Lord has answered your prayer. You are free. You are saved. Go in this strength and grace of the Lord and live a life above reproach. Confirm it, Lord, in every heart. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. God bless you. Keep on standing, officiating. Minister tonight will come and lead us in this time of counseling. After that, I'll come back and pray. Tonight is your night of miracle. Everybody, I said, praise the Lord. The works of His grace, the wonder of His grace, the wealth of His grace. As we pray now on this final night, the wonders of grace will come to you. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And because God says, I am God, I change not. His power has not changed. His provision has not changed. And His performance will not change in your life. Whatever you need, healing, deliverance, miracle, power manifestation from heaven, deliverance that will roll away all those areas of darkness in your life is coming upon your life right now. Nothing will stand between you and your healing. Nothing stands between you and your deliverance. Nothing stands between you and the wonders of His grace. You raise up one hand, you lay the other hand on yourself. And when you hear the final amen, you know that it is done. You have a particular challenge, a particular need, a particular sickness, a particular disease, a particular attack, affliction. You raise up your hand. Then you lay the other hand on yourself. And remember, in the name of Jesus, there's no failure. I said, in the name of Jesus, there is no failure. He always does what we ask in that name. You're ready now? Heaven is ready. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I bring all your people before you tonight. And we're asking for the wonders of your grace, the wonders of your mercy, the wonders of your love, the wonders of your compassion. Look down on everyone having a sickness, a disease, a demon affliction, demonic affliction. And Lord, I pray, do that wonder in their lives. Heal, deliver them in Jesus' name. By your stripes, we're healed. Not by our feeling, not by our crying, not by our shouting, not by rolling on the ground, not by holy water, not by incense, not by candle. By His stripes, we're healed. Lord, I pray that the stripes of Christ that He bore for healing will avail for everyone right now in Jesus' name. Demonic oppression, demonic attack, and brain problem, the Lord touches you right now. Be delivered in Jesus' name. All the things that the enemy power has done, that the powers of darkness has done in your life, I cancel them in Jesus' name. Spirit from the water, spirit of mammoth, spirit, a bush spirit, whatever, be delivered in Jesus' name. I bring the people before you that have any physical challenge in their body. I pray that swelling in any part of your body will vanish away in Jesus' name. The pain and the joints pain, and the chest pain, and the brain pain, anywhere the pain is, I pray the Lord touch you right now. He bore our grief. He bore our pain. And I pray all the pains will vanish away in Jesus' name. Your problem was your blood flow, blood issue. Whatever problem it is that affects any part of your body, Lord, I pray, cleanse their blood. Purify their system. And I pray all those things that bothered them because of the blood problem, solve the problem. Heal their sickness. Set them free. I pray for those who are blind, blindness, dimness of sight. I pray the Lord touch your eyes right now. Open those eyes and see clearly in Jesus' name. Blindness, you don't have any authority to remain there. I command you, come out in Jesus' name. Glaucoma, cataract, be healed in Jesus' name. You have ear problem, I pray the Lord will touch your ears and touch your tongues and your vocal cords, be healed in Jesus' name. I pray for those who have arthritis. I pray and I command arthritis, be healed in Jesus' name. Lameness, paralysis, the Lord heal you right now. Polio, the Lord heal you right now. The ability to stand, you didn't have. The ability to walk, you didn't have. The ability to run, you didn't have. Lord, I pray, touch them, heal them, and take away the lameness and the paralysis now in Jesus' name. One leg shorter than the other. Lord, I pray that short leg will grow out. That short hand will grow out. And the withering of any part of the body, I pray, Lord, heal them right now. Life in every part of your body. Strength in every part of your body. Lord, I pray from the top of the head to the tip of the toe, touch everyone, heal everyone, deliver everyone, and set all captives free. To my right, it's done. To my left, it is done. In front, at the middle, far to the back, it is done in Jesus' name. Online, everywhere we are now on the globe, I send forth the power of Christ's healing. And I send forth the authority of that name of Jesus. And the healing virtue of the Lord touch you and heal you and deliver you right now. It is done for you. It is done in your body. It is done. Lord, I pray there will be confirmation everywhere right now. Out of the wheelchair, confirmation. Away from the crutches, confirmation. Hearing and seeing, confirmation. Healing and health, confirmation. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.